that everyone can play the same points. Everyone can play the same. Everybody can experience Warhammer the way that GW intended it to be experienced.
Charge the ion accelerator. It's time to forge the narrative.
Hello, welcome to the Forge the Narrative show. My name is Paul, your host with Alabama Lost Souls podcast. I'm joined by Tanya Gates.
Hi, everybody.
And Adam Camilleri.
Hello, how you doing?
Doing amazing, actually. And there's some big changes coming from Warhammer 40,000. Thankfully, Games Workshop has sent us a copy of the Minotaurium Field Manual and the Warzone Nachman Grand Tournament Mission Pack. We're going to talk a little bit about that today. Obviously, by the time you're hearing this, you've seen some I guess, teasers on the Warhammer community site about the point changes on some models. And then, you know, if you watched some of the coverage we did of the U.S. Open Series finals in Austin, you already saw some mission changes for the Warzone Nachman Grand Tournament pack for 2022. So, you know, maybe you've already heard all this, but you haven't heard our take on it necessarily. So thanks for tuning in.
That's right. And man, I had the points drops that they alluded to, the ones that got previewed. I'm a fan of just about all of them. I can't say that I've seen them do much off the mark, especially with the vehicles decreasing, and then the whole Necrons just get a whole little thing of, hey, Necrons, we know.
I mean, here's obviously, the good stuff. You got to have more vehicles on the table, so the railgun has more to shoot at.
Well, first, yeah, so the line ducks up, so the tower gets to shoot them all down, obviously, because that's the deep brain, that's brain thinking right now. But vehicles have been surprisingly sparse in this edition so far, despite GW doing a lot to make vehicles more appealing, you know, being able to shoot to combat, having blast weaponry, and a lot of other bits and pieces. They've never been more durable as well.
We stare at a lot of tournament lists and you know, those lists that are chasing that efficiency. And so vehicles sometimes fall out of that because of like how they interact with terrain or, you know, maybe how fast they move for the point ratio and that kind of stuff. And so unless they perform more than one function, they have not been making it into a lot of lists that are on the bleeding edge of trying to figure out whatever that efficiency is.
Yeah, I mean, the most taken vehicles I can think of for this edition so far would be a Contemptor Dreadnought or a Volkite Contemptor, as we know, that being the preferable setup.
But that's almost like coincidentally a vehicle.
Yeah, exactly right. It's not like what we would think of as a vehicle. Apart from that, I think kind of rhinos have been one of the other most prevalent ones.
Rhinos and the Debasortas and Raiders and Venoms for Jakar.
I was about to say, and then of course we have the Raiders and the Venoms and the MSU skewed side of things as well. And so vehicles have been there, but only when they're really cheap, and usually only when they got fly do you see a handful. The only other list that I think took really big advantage of vehicles is orcs, which I thought was really cool, because it's been so long since orcs had a mechanized build, right? It's been so long. I mean, usually you'd see one or two trucks, but a true, like, seeing a battle wagon, seeing buggies, and I've seen a Gorkonaut this edition, and it was on the table, and I looked at it and I'm like, that doesn't feel like a stupid choice. So they're doing some things right.
The orcs have, and this is again, a lot of depth in that codex.
I'm really curious. So in general, I feel like this edition, the terrain is pretty dense. Is that maybe why we're not seeing a lot of vehicles that don't have fly?
Well, that's going to lead, you know, I want to talk about the Plagueburst Crawler that is getting a 15-point decrease. And we're already seeing them taken because of their ability to fire indirectly and how they interact with the To the Last secondary.
Yeah, spot on. And to Tanya's point, that's a tank that has tracks. It's got quite a big platform. But because, especially for Chaos players, it's literally the only source of no line of sight, of artillery, no line of sight shooting. You just take them because they do something nothing else can do. But you're exactly right, Tanya. Ninth edition has gotten killier. The sheer damage output of some lists, a la what AdMech, before they got some of their pairing back, could do to you from the other side of the table necessitated more terrain. And then what was already like sometimes hard to take. I mean, as a guard player, I felt it hard to justify taking, you know, more than one, sometimes two tank commanders. When in 8th edition, I loved playing lists with a couple of Chimeras, a couple of Hellhounds, a couple of tank commanders, a couple of artillery pieces. So now, yeah, I just take the artillery pieces and maybe two tank commanders. And that's all the vehicles in my guard list. So yeah, you're absolutely right. That's because in my deployment zone, I might not be able to get angles. I might not be able to move them to get to the firing lane.
Two or three turns for you to actually get up there and maneuver, and then you know the game can be well out of reach at that point.
Yeah, but a lot of the anti-tank now is on infantry, and it just like powers through buildings, right? So they can get a beat on you before you can get a beat on them, or they can even just charge you, and there's really nothing that you can do about it unless you have some sort of like counterpunch plan for it, and Guard doesn't have a great one.
That's right. I suppose that becomes its own little arms race, doesn't it? Like, you know, they're tanks on infantry units, and now my anti-infantry has to be on infantry units, can't be on tanks, so that they can go get your anti-tanks, then your anti-tank can't get my tanks, so I can use my tanks. It's cyclical. Mm. But the other way we're seeing a lot of vehicles taken prior to the balanced data sheet was planes. Planes actually came back in a big way in the kind of the part of this year, the middle to the later part, second kind of third quarter of 2021. We saw
great terrain you have. Let me just ignore that.
Well, that's exactly right. Oh, my battle tank can't get lines of fire. I'll just take the thing that's in the sky and doesn't care. So, and that's exactly right.
Just to continue and talk about tanks, the Immolator is actually getting Immolator and the Exorcist, but I want to talk about the Immolator specifically for the Adeptus Sororitas, getting a little bit of a decrease. And I already think the Immolator was good, was playable.
I liked it a lot. I found it just a bit awkward because for exactly what Tanya said, you could take a unit of retributors in a Rhino for less points or around about the same amount of points, and they'd be more flexible and do more damage, and they got kind of better stratagem support. And so now this will make a nice distinction in points, hopefully, and a bit more palatable. Because, I mean, Six Sisters are like riding around in essentially like a Razorback.
Man, it Dominions. Should feel pretty good,
right? Yeah, well, yeah, exactly right. Dominions. I mean, there's like Red, like Repentia, you know? There are a lot of options of what can go in these things.
Yeah. They're cool. I mean, one, they look cool. You know, that stained glass on the front is amazing. But I think for a lot of lists, they've probably been eked out, you know, again, for efficiency type thing. But I've kind of looked at the Immolators a bunch because of, you know, anytime you don't have to roll a die for a certain period of thing, you got to look at it. And then what you can actually put in there, and maybe this has them see the table. Gladiator variants getting a 15-point decrease. I don't know if that's enough.
I don't... No, it is either. There's only one Gladiator variant that I think was even slightly appealing before, and that was the Reaper, and that was only during certain times of the game. I liked the Reaper for like Iron Hand lists because you can give it better Overwatch, you can make it durable with the Ironstone, you can repair it really well, and then I had a couple of strats that just make it just dunk on units because it has really respectable DACA. If it goes down 15 points, how many points is it now? What's that going to end it up on? I'm just going to have to quickly look it up myself, but I believe it's around 200-ish, 220-ish at the moment.
I can tell you in a second as well.
210 unbuffed. So and you take a couple of extra guns on it, bits and pieces if you want. So going down to starting at 191, is it 190 or 195? Yeah, going down starting at 195, it's pretty respectable for a toughness 8 chassis with just a lot of DACA on it.
There are so many guns on the thing. It's bristling, I think, is as I would say. So the Gladiator Reaper starts at 195, and then auto launchers will be 5, Icarus Rocket Pod 5, Iron Hell Heavy Stubber 5 points. So for 210, you could max this thing out with all the upgrades.
Yeah. I think they're not a bad buy if you can justify it, and I think it's a really cool looking tank. I remember when the Gladiator variants came out, and they came with the Repulsor and the Repulsor Executioner came out. I just looked at it, I'm like, you sure an orc mech didn't make that? You sure?
I wish, you know, we're ready to be back next week, but it's one of those things to where it looks more like a modern warfare type tank design with its armaments, with the way the armaments and number of armaments that are positioned and like spines and spindly bits coming off of it
for
radio waves or whatever it is, you know, space age technology. Necron players I want to hear from some Necron players. Are you rejoicing? Like, I know it's like, as a general nod, is like, hey, everything in your codex just went down in points and you got all these extra new rules.
Yeah, it really does feel like the case. I'm hoping there's a couple more in addition to what they're showing us here, because the models that I think need the most reductions, the characters, the Cryptex, the Overlords, the Lords, I'd love to see them all come down somewhere between 10, 15 points, 20 points. These are pretty nice though. Like, I do think the monolith reduction is cute. I think the monolith The problem with the monolith is the slot it takes up in your army.
That's a common grievance that some Necrons, but they have so many options now. I mean, the Necrons have a ton of units, more than you think, actually.
Yeah, look, I played against Necrons, just a really basic Necron list last week, like a Silent King, a couple of units of Wraith, a couple of units of Warriors, and I got run over. He got to the middle of the board before I did, and I couldn't take it back. And the Silent King buffs going on stuff like Wraiths, because Wraiths really suffer from having a weapon skill 4+ on a melee unit. And as soon as they're in Silent King range where they get those 4 rerolls to hit, and then, you know, they're Novox, they can get some extra attacks. Wow, they are scary units now, man. It used to be that I would just, like, run Blade Guard into Necron armies and be like, ha, nothing you can do. 1 CP transhuman, I know this model, this unit's going to stick here. And now, like, wow, they just run roughshod over you. It's like, quite scary.
The Necron Lord and Overlord, they're same points as they are now.
Fair enough. You got the book right there, brother.
Yeah.
Can you tell me about
But the things you build around them, I think, are got a little bit cheaper. And so you're by direct correlation, getting more value out of them.
Mm. Yeah, exactly right, because they're influencing far better units now. They're not just warriors and immortals.
Yeah, more plentiful.
Maybe a tomb. Yeah. I get spicy, use a tomb blade unit.
I think when this was originally published, there was a craft world distinction on the obelisk or the monolith, and I thought, ooh, that's deep. That's like conspiracy theory level deep. Because the Necrons and the craft world, you know, the Eldari battled a long time ago. Was that really a piece of? Could that have been a piece of tech that they stole from the Eldari, like the Blackstone Fortress type stuff? But it's been fixed. The image has been fixed. But you see that, and as a lore kind of a lore nerd, I'm like, oh man, yeah, those makes me think. But no, just a typo. I would certainly, I think, be doing a disservice if I did not mention that Mephiston has gone down 15 points.
Yes. Oh man. Did any other? What other? What other Blood Angels units went down? Like any other special characters?
No, I think they're all about the same. But Mephiston dropping that amount of points, I think he's already playable.
Oh yeah, he already is playable. The other reason like people don't see him getting taken is because of like a point we've made on here before. If you're playing, you know, at events and stuff, it's almost a detriment to take it like a sprinkle psyker. Yep. Unless, like, if you're only taking a psyker when you've got a real build around for him at the moment, because you want to be able to take a Bore the Witch into T-Suns and Grey Knights.
But it's just fun to sometimes, attack folks with Mephiston.
Yes.
let me look at. I'm gonna look up. I didn't look at Lamartis earlier, so I'm gonna bring him up.
Love it.
120 points. Dante's the same.
I just want to like someone to make a short clip of, not an animation, of someone just like making a charge with Lamartis to the Ace of Spades. That'd be pretty good.
Nice.
I always think it's in my head. Never mind.
Is that you just think of Lemmy when you see the?
Yeah, I do. When I see Lamartis, I think Lemmy. I think Ace of Spades.
No arguments over here.
One thing we didn't point out is Silent King went down 30 points. So he's now 420. And I can tell you he was already very good and already very takeable in with all the core changes. I mean, you're gonna have to make up a reason not to take him now, I think. He's just really good.
Oh, it's good. It's such a gorgeous model too. And it's a reward. If you make it all the way through assembling and painting your Silent King, you're gonna want to play it.
Yeah, exactly right. I keep hearing people who, like, veteran players of the game, veteran builders and modelers, and just being like, the Silent King's a bit of a pain in the butt to build.
It's a big model, and it's a combination, but some of the things are kind of chunky. Some of the things are kind of...
spindly?
Spindly or slight, slight, you know, I don't know what the, because I mean, it, but it goes together very well, and it goes together in this just really cool, spectacular way. And it's a bit, you can make a meal out of it. You could spend a lot of time on this, on this model. And you should. It's a centerpiece. I'm not saying anything of it, but there's a lot going on with it, which is cool.
Yeah, some of these Astartes reductions, as a Dark Angels player, and I'm sure as a Blood Angels player, you're quite happy. I mean, Death Company intercessors.
So the Death Company, they look cool, but they compete for the elite side.
Correct.
So I don't know if I'm inspired to take them, although if I were taking them, that reduction is cool.
Well, me and some of my peers, we were trying to figure out some good plays into, you know, massed racks and a bunch of other strong parts of the game at the moment. And we looked at Death Company Intercessors. And we figured out, hey, you can fall on Furium. Like, you can.
Yeah, Death Company keyword.
Really quick. And they are so much scarier to charge than regular bog old standard intercessors. So I'm not saying they're good, but they could be cute. So in the people I play, there's one of the best Tyranid players in the world. And he plays a lot of Devil Gorts. And so me and my friend who plays Space Marines as well, we were thinking about how the do we get the jump on the Devil Gaunts so they don't just run in with all their devourers and just pick up everything, because they double move with the Swarm Lord and they advance and all this stuff. And we're like, if we just like get to the midboard on the right piece of terrain with a Forlorn Fury and then move in advance because they've got Assault Bolters, we could just touch a piece of terrain and just kill all of them, because you can double shoot, because they have the Intercessor keyword, so they can still double shoot with the stratagem. Mm-hmm. And then if anybody tries to charge them and you initially have like two guys alive, squad gone. We'll pick them all up, you know, because you put a, yeah. Can you put a special weapon on the sergeant?
I think you still can, yeah.
So you put a hammer or a fist on the sergeant and they try and charge you down with like a couple of Talos versus, if you're versing Rax or whatever, and Thick City, and just like, this guy's got a Thunder Hammer and like six attacks. Bad idea, brother.
I love it that you're mentioning the keywords and all the strategies that play into the keywords and how to get value out of the unit. That's really good to think about.
It is, yeah, because there's all like, and you're a big proponent of this. I know Tanya's big on it as well, on studying your codex. If you don't have a linear path of what you want to do, take your codex, maybe do what I do, take it to the toilet with you. For 10 to 20 minutes, and you'll leave feeling great and maybe have a new lease on life.
And the library is the library.
Yeah, the library.
Oh my goodness. I know we're just jumping around through this and hitting the highlights, and some of the stuff is on the community page, but I actually did just finish painting a Foul Blight Spawn. It's like, but I'm not complaining. Like, this is such a cool change, and I think people are going to be happy with it. Again, it makes some units. Had somebody comment to me that, I heard people are taking XYZ unit a lot, so I'm sure it's going to get a point change. It's going to get a point increase. Yep. And I don't think that's the way that they think about this thing. When these updates occur, it really is about, is a unit, punching above or below its intended weight.
Yeah. So when people see these points, you got to think about when these points may have been written, because there is a bit of a lead time for getting books and product production done. So it's possible it's been a couple of months since some of this stuff happened. And one of the indicators that I think shows a little bit of that, if people are willing to look at it, is look at the orc changes. So the actual things that went up for orcs. I mean, orcs got, I don't want to say orcs got hit too much, but they took the biggest increases from what we're being seen. The Rucka Truck Swig Buggies going up 20 points a pop, that's pretty significant. And then the Beast Boss on Squigasaur going up 30 points. Now, I don't think those are backbreaking for either of those units or backbreaking for orcs, but they are easily the biggest changes that we're seeing. Everything else is either a 10 or a 5 or a 15 point change.
I think that we can agree that the Beast Boss on Squigasaur is a bit of a jerk.
So the one with the Beast Hide Mantle, and he just runs into your lines, he's like, haha, I want you to waste your time trying to kill me. And you could like literally waste like a whole turn trying to kill him and not kill him. It's really frustrating.
And then you look at some of these points and you see people, Hive Guard getting a 5-point increase apiece is not that bad. But when you think about, if people were taken in quantity, 18 of them or whatever, that's 90 points. So there's a whole unit missing out of the army at that point.
Agreed. One of the ones that I thought was interesting was the Volkite Vulgarite and Lightning Locks for the Moirax, the Forge World Moirax. Because as far as I can see, I suppose the Volkite Contempted Dread is also a Forge World unit. Mm-hmm. That is very specific to, there's only two armies that can take those. And it was only, I don't know if those were too much in those builds, but that's actually going to be really significant, right? Because point list riding for knight armies is always on a knife edge. Yeah.
Yeah. You end up like, well, I have like 75 points I haven't spent. Well, tough.
Exactly. You either end up directly on the nose and you spent 2,000 points and you're so happy, or you're like at, like you said, like 1925 and you're like, well, I can't buy anything and everyone's got every upgrade and I'm just like, okay. yeah, that's the best way I always think those things are on a knife edge. Like any increase on knights, I always really pay attention to because it fundamentally changes the list entirely. Like anything going up, anything going down.
Yeah. These are anything jumping out of y'all, like as far as like factions you play, like, you know, Black Knights, for example, getting a bit rebate, you know.
I've got a list in my Battle Scribe right now that's two Outriders. It's all Raven. It's a pure Ravenwing list. And as it sits right now, that list has gone down almost 50 points. You know, I do want to know if regular Blacks or Outriders have gone down, because if that is, that's even more gains, you know. if you would you like to divulge if they have, sir?
Oh yeah, happy to. So,
Right now it's 30 points for a Black, and I think it's 50 points for an Outrider. I'd love to see Outriders come down to 40, 45 points apiece, and I can see like maybe yeah. 2 points.
Blacks are 30 points.
Yep.
Still, and then where are the Outriders? Outriders are 50 points apiece, so that's the same. So. Yeah.
Oh well, I'll just be happy with my extra 50 points. Oh, this is the worst.
Yeah, if you get to turn that into two Landspeeder Storms or whatever, then you're
exactly right.
Oh my goodness.
So the Custodes' bikes went down.
This is interesting, isn't it?
I mean, I find it interesting because they were probably, I mean, they're a very versatile piece in the Custodes. In the Custodes line. And I feel like almost every single list in the new book is going to have bikes. Plus they have a bunch of amazing strategies.
Like nine of them. Yeah.
Some of them, yeah. And I feel like they have a bunch of amazing stratagems that just really help improve what they could do from the last codex. So it's really interesting that they've gone down. Now, I actually think that this is good because they are expensive. They are good. But Custodes, I think, still kind of lack a little bit in killing power for how much you're paying for them. So I do think that this is really good. But what do you guys think?
80 points apiece, 5 points for the Salvo Launcher.
Yeah, I think they are priced to use. I'm not going to use the term price to sell because I don't believe that's any of the G-Dub's motivation here. But price to play is the new term. And those Custodes bikes are priced to play 100%. There is one change I've heard for Custodes that I would like to see if it's confirmed. How many points is Trajan Valoris in that book?
Trajan Valoris is 160 points.
Yeah.
That Trajan Valoris, I'm just going to say, Adam's Ring-a-Ding Big Call a Day is now the best character in the game. At 100
points.
In the game.
Like
my God.
Because of the points decrease or just because?
He was only 100. He was 170 in this book.
Yeah.
And I was like, he's like Morven Vile 2.0. And now 10 points cheaper, the best character in the book, in the game, hands down.
Did the bike captain also go down?
Shield captain on Dawn Eagle jet bike is 160, 5 points extra for the Salvo Launcher.
All right. Happy Tanya noises. All right.
let me make my case for Trajan. There's no other character in the game for 100 points that is holistically perfect as he is, durability-wise, buffing your army-wise, being in himself a killing machine-wise, and a debuffer. Like, he's a source of Tanglefoot and a bunch of other cool, amazing stratagems. Comes with two Warlord traits, can fight twice, can moment shackle to keep himself alive, and a bunch of other crazy stuff. Real wants to hit and wants to wound aura. Like, he's amazing. He's so good. 160 points. Like, I pay 170 for Azrael, and like, Trajan makes him look like a.
He's also got strength 10 attack, right? That's pretty good.
He can fight twice, once per game, with his moment shackle, and he'd just be like, oh, you see that Castellan knight over there? Be a shame if I killed him by myself at full.
He rerolls his own hits.
I think he's aggressively pointed because he walks. You know, if he had a jump pack, he'd probably be 200 points.
Oh, you better hope he would be. but yeah, he's priced to play. Absolutely priced to play.
Oh, I don't know if you can hear it, but I'm shaking up my can of Retribute Armor Spray.
Shake it up, man.
Getting ready to go.
Purple and green. That's if I ever do them, it's gold. Tinge the gold, glaze the gold with a bit of green, and purple for all the trimmings. I think it's mwah. I can see it in my mind right now.
That sounds like a pretty good color scheme. I mean, green on gold as the, I mean, that's a thing. It could be a naturally occurring thing in today's world.
Yeah. Someone showed it to me, like a lot of examples of gold tinged green in like real life. So it's when gold it's old, but it's been like clean or kept out of, you know, it doesn't get that verdigris look, but it's got that ancient look. And so that's what I kind of feel like for Custodes. Like they've kept their stuff clean, but it's still got that ancient feel to it because it's like, who knows how many thousands of years old on their armor.
Passed down. Like their names are etched inside of it, isn't it? Isn't that the case?
I know. Yeah.
Do they pass it on from custode to custode?
I don't know. I think they retire the armor. Maybe somebody can show us in a comment because I actually don't know what the rules are there.
That is something to think about.
Question.
Maybe we'll be addressed.
So we know Cult Mechanicus, Admech, and Drakari aren't getting touched in this book. I'd be keen to know if there are points changes in there for Tau or Craftwood Eldar, which we have been kind of teased that we're getting sometime soon.
Well, there are at least even on the community page, it talks about the Hemlock Wraith Fighter.
Yeah,
going down. There are some. I just went back. Sorry, I just flipped all the way back to the Forge World section. Let's see.
I do have a question. I want to know if knights have been changed at all. Like, you know, Gallant, the knights we haven't seen. I'd love to know if Megaris have changed because that's been far and away the most prevalent knight we've seen on tables. But there are a lot of knights that could use a couple of points going down. And that would really I don't know if three big knights is the sweet spot or if four would be too much for some armies. I don't know what the balancing point there is, but I'd love to know if the
Majera is 500 points.
Oh, so that's a 20-point. That's a 20-point increase. I think that's fair. I think they're still quite good. But now 20, you know, three of them is a clear. Yeah. They're clear of your army.
The Morox is 155 points base. Lightning Lock 5 points upgrade.
Yeah. Because they costed nothing before, and now they're going to be 5 points each. Same for the Volkite. What about your Knight Crusader, your Armigers, your regular old Castellans and Gallants and Crusaders?
Normally, what I'll do is I'll like write down some units. This time I did not. We're on the fly.
We're on the fly. I love it. And Adam's just sending you on missions.
Look, this is what the people want to know. Like that's I understand this is I'm not even tongue in cheek. Like this affects army list composition. It affects what you might paint next. It affects certainly what you're going to fit into an army list. And so I completely understand the desire to want to know about this stuff. So Armorga Warglaive, 135 points each.
Yep,
Helbrin is 155.
Yep.
Gallant, 400. Knight Errant, base 420.
Yep.
Valiant, 595.
So Valiant's down 20 points.
Crusader, 475.
That is the same.
Castellan is 605.
Oh, Castellan down 30 points. Interesting. So that's the Castellan and the Valiant both going down quite a bit. I don't mind that. I think that's about right.
Look, we got to see those harpoons somewhere.
Well, dude, I just can't wait to see what their profile is now. we saw the big gun on the Storm Surge come out. There's the pulse cannon, whatever it was. And they got to jazz up that harpoon to make it look respectable now.
I don't want to get too speculative over the stuff, but yeah, there is. I mean, I don't want to say this. This seems to be nudges in the direction towards balance, or at least a different type of balance, and not like huge shifts. I think people will largely be able to play very similar to what their army is today.
That's very true, man. Very true.
With the exception of when you look at these things like cumulative, like the Hive Guard is an example. You know, if you take 18 Hive Guard, that's 90 points. So you've lost a unit of Gaunts, or maybe that extra warrior you threw in, or something can't make it into the unit anymore.
Yeah, exactly right. I'd love to just throw questions about Guard at you like nonstop. But I will strain myself. And Tanya,
Lehman Russ did get a point. You know that's there is a little bit cheaper on Lehman Russ even after they got their armor save upgrade. So, I think they're good now.
Yeah, I am curious if that's both tank commanders and regular Lehman Russes. Because obviously Tank Commanders are very good right now, and regular Lehman Russes, not quite so much. Like, I've taken regular Lehman Russes and just, like, one forest has foiled me so terrifically. And I just keep telling my Demolisher Cannons, just blow the forest up first, you know?
Yeah, like, a Tank Commander is 175 points base.
Yeah, okay, I'll see where they're at now. But yeah, first shot just kills the forest. How does the second shot get hurt by the forest? Because the forest is gone, because it got hit by a Demolisher Cannon with the first shot.
I miss those anti-plant missiles from second edition, first and second edition.
Yeah, man, that's what I was talking about. Kind of just blow up the terrain.
Tank Commander still, it's 175 points today as well.
Yeah, that's what I pretty much figured.
So, womp womp. Yeah,
that's okay. I didn't think they needed it. They're good. They're good enough as they are. The regular Russes do need the help, so I'm not unhappy about that.
Let's take a quick break and then come back and talk about submissions.
Oh, yeah.
See you in a minute.
FTN is brought to you by Discount Games Inc. Please visit them at www.discountgamesinc.com. And don't forget to ask Jay about ways to save even more on your hobby projects.
Hey everybody, we are back. Going to talk about the missions. So, you know, the Warzone Nachman Grand Tournament Mission Pack. This is one of those cool things that I really do like how... So missions over the years have... divisive is not the right word, but it's been one of those things, those tweaks that organizers would normally, you know, like, label and brand their event. I mean, I wrote missions, you know, because that was a way to kind of... maybe balance or define what you wanted to see at your event without saying that's what you wanted to see at your event, kind of thing. And so there were all these different types of mission formats out there. And then with this edition, and I think even in the previous edition, you know, we started gelling up into kind of, we can all kind of agree that these missions kind of make it equal footing, no matter where you're playing, no matter what army you're playing. These are something to shoot for.
Yeah. And GW's done a really good job. Their mission format was a little bit hard for some people to adapt to when it first came out. I mean, like the choosing of secondaries and the
asymmetric crime missions and having that potential, you could sabotage yourself with what you pick. And that's things that even like, there's no shame in struggling with that, by the way, because, you know, I get questions all the time. Like, when do I pick these? Do I pick them in army list generation? Do I pick it? You know, it's like, no, you get to pick it when you're facing your opponent and you could misjudge what your opponent's goals are.
Yeah.
But I like it. I like it. This is not a nag. I like how that all plays out.
And so in every edition of 40K that I've been a part of prior to this one, there's always been multiple mission formats. And it's been very confusing trying to stay on top of all of them. Like, there was, you know, Europe played the game differently to Australia, who played the game differently to America, who played the game differently. And one of the best things that we'll be able to see back, and I've started coining a term for 8th and 9th edition. I'm calling them the modern era of the game, because there has been a big initiative by GW to bring it up to a certain level of homogeneous standard that everyone can play the same points. Everyone can play the same. Everybody can experience Warhammer the way that GW intended it to be experienced. And I think the fact that we're getting different missions and kind of a refresh of things year by year is a phenomenal thing. You remember 5th edition, yeah? Played the same missions for like 14 years, you know?
Well, you know, when you're walking into a game store, and this is one of the, you know, like, tenants. I know we've mentioned this before, but if you're new and just join us, thank you, welcome. But one of the coolest things about having, you know, a defined match play set of rules, you can walk into any game store in the world, be like, 2K match play, Strike Force, you know, whatever. Yeah, let's do it. Let's roll. And then you're very little discussion that has to happen before you just start getting to rolling dice and playing a game.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And that's one of the best things about this. Like, everyone knows what they're going to expect from a 1,000 point game, 2,000 point game, 90,000 point game. Doesn't matter.
But missions, let me say this, they change things quite a bit, but it's subtle. So currently right now you score primary points of 5, 10, 15, you know, control one, control more, you know, control two, control more, or whatever, yep. Control all or something.
Control three, control more.
Yeah. And now that's dropping to 4, 8, and 12.
Wow. Yeah. I heard about this change because I was at the GW finals with you, mate. And we heard about this change and I thought, this is the biggest change we've had to the missions since 9th edition started, since we got the first one. We found it was a pretty small change on the first one. Now, this is a decent size change. So it's not nothing, but it's not fundamentally going to change the way people play. But so there's a way to get a 15 every turn, right? But every mission has a different way of getting those last couple of points, those last 3 points.
Right? Yeah. So let's take, let me go to, just as a for instance, a Strike Force mission, recover the relics. So taken hold, so the primary objective of this mission has two primary objectives. Taken hold, at the end of each player's command phase, the player whose turn it is scores 4 victory points for each of the following conditions they satisfy for a maximum of 12 victory points. They control 1 or more objective markers. They control 2 or more objective markers. They control more objective markers than their opponent controls. The primary objective cannot be scored the first turn, so on and so forth. And then there's another one, break them, body and soul. So this used to be a potential secondary that you could pick as the mission secondary, like something as an option, and I was rolled into the primary. Break them body and soul. At the end of each battle round, each player scores 1 victory point for each of the enemy units that was destroyed during that battle round, to a maximum of 3 victory points per player per battle round, a unit, and then goes on to give you some more rules on that. But that's where you get that move up to the 15 points.
Yeah, and so this is a great way. I think this is an amazing way, because one of the biggest issues, I suppose, and one of the critiques that I've had of the mission so far, it's not a big one either. It's that when I'm down in the mission, I find it very hard to flip that. It's like once the momentum goes against you, it's so very hard.
You're running out of pieces to play with, and so you're
find it very hard to get the agency back. And so theoretically, I guess we're saying that, you know, if you were to just get a 5 on your primary, but then you get your 3 secondary points, you're not getting a 10, but you get a 4.
You get 7.
Sorry, a 4. Yeah, and you get to a 7. That's a lot better than a 5. You know, a lot better than a 5.
Especially if you start playing, you start attacking. You know, what we say this calling games or whatever, that you've got to attack the scoreboard, and sometimes that means attacking your opponent's score.
Yeah, exactly right. And so I love this change. And I think it's fantastic. A lot more agency for players.
Well, so this is one of those to where some of these secondaries that are what were previous secondaries were kind of auto picks, and that kept you from having to make a big decision point on you picking a third secondary from one of the categories for your army to achieve points, depending on what opponent that you're faced up against. And so I think this is going to maybe get some, you know, in a roundabout way, have more interesting games.
Yeah, I expect to see a lot closer games. So at the moment, I don't know what your guys' experience, maybe Tanya, you can speak to this. But a lot of my score lines are usually 20 to 30 points difference. It's very rare that there's like an under 10 point game. And I want to see more of those, because what I love and what I loved about past editions was like, it's the bottom of the innings. Like, I've only got one more swing. The scores are neck and neck. I need to make these two. I need to make this charge roll. This grenade needs to hit. I need to, you know, get on this objective, do this, do that. And then my opponent has to do the same back to me. That kind of stuff is the stuff that really has always been the most fun parts of 40K to me, at least playing the game. And I found we've lost a little bit of that in 9th edition. I find that in 9th edition, a lot of the time, the last turn doesn't matter that much.
That's it. So even if you come up with like a 15-point plan and it all has to go right, you might still be out of reach on the points.
That's why when I said about the 20, 30-point gap, it's really hard to make up 20 or 30 points in one turn. Tanya, what's been your experience? You're quite new to the game as it is right now. Have you found those things to be true for you as well?
I find it's hard for me to comment because I'm learning a new faction, but I found with Guard near the end, once I was really starting to figure out how they worked, there wasn't actually a lot of like blowout games for me, but that's because like how you were saying about attacking your opponent's score, Guard have a hard time holding objectives, but they have a really easy time taking them away from people. So I haven't really noticed very close games, except in like non-competitive games, like when I've played on a few battle reports, because those are like a collaborative effort in list building. Those ones have been really close, but in my more competitive games, it's like you said, it's like normally at like a 20-point loss. I'm learning a new faction though, so I've been steamrolled a few times with the custodians with the old book, but yeah, I think that you're pretty accurate in terms of competitive play.
I just want the last couple of turns to mean a little bit more, because that's the thing. I feel like the game's won and lost in 1, 2, 3, and then 4, 5 are kind of. Can be a non-event.
My favorite games I've ever played are the ones that I've played on battle reports that came down to the last dice roll. So I would.
Oh, so good.
I know. So I would love
those games still exist.
More.
You know, that's yeah, but you got to keep it tight, and that's and I think that's what maybe Adam, what you were talking about is that there's ways to keep the score a little bit tighter because people aren't necessarily going to have. I mean, if the I know we're only talking about 3 points on primary potentially, but even if you get moved off of the primary, you might still be able to score some of those. You turn what might be a 15-5 into a 15-7 or. Yeah, 12-7.
12-11 is a possibility.
Oh yeah, fair. Yeah,
you get 12, and you get an 8 plus your 3 bonus, and bada bing, bada boom, you're deficit by 1. That's incredible.
Yeah, you start making it up in other ways. You probably feel like you've got a little bit more, you know, influence, agency. Like I think you said in the game, and it incentivizes you to keep scrapping for it.
Yeah, exactly right. There's been a change to a couple of secondaries. Yeah. I think we talked about these ones again previewed with the GW final. Was it Nachman Data? It's kind of the evolution of retrieve Octarius.
Well, Octarius data right out. No more Octarius. All the data that can be retrieved from Octarius is that was yesterday's campaign.
We've got it all. Yeah, it's we've got all the data.
The Nachman Gauntlet is where we're at right now. And yes, so retrieve Octarius data has been replaced by retrieve Nachman data, and that's it's very similar, except that you could fail. So here we go, retrieve Nachman data. If you select this objective, keep a retrieve data tally. In addition, units in your army can perform the following action, retrieve data. One infantry or biker unit from your army can start to perform this action at the end of your movement phase. If it is wholly within a table quarter that has not had a server skull retrieved by your army, see below, and it is more than 6 inches away from the other table quarter. This action is completed at the end of the turn, provided the unit attempting is still within the same table quarter, and the action is successfully completed. Roll a d6, subtracting 1 from the result if the unit that completed the action has the troop's battlefield roll. If the result is less or equal to the number of models currently in that unit, that table quarter is said to have a servo skull retrieved by your army, and you add 1 to your retrieved data tally. At the end of the battle, score 4 victory points if your retrieved data tally is 2, score 8 if it's 3, and 12 if the tally is 4.
I like this change quite a bit. First and foremost, did you say bikers can do it now too?
Infantry and biker, yeah. Or biker, is what it says. Right. But yes, infantry and biker units can try to perform this action.
So just to break it down, it means that if you are a 5-man troop unit, you can't fail yet because you get +1 to the modifier.
It's -1, but yes.
Yeah. So you can't roll under
your models in the army. Yeah,
models in the unit. So these, but things like the single lictor, we used to see people doing it with, I've seen people do it with 2-man crusader squads for Sororitas. Those things are getting a lot worse because you essentially got a 1/3 chance of doing it now, right?
And this is not one of those things that you command point reroll. You know, didn't fall into that category. Yeah.
So I feel like this is a great regard, right? Because Scions are just like the best thing in the game at doing this all of a sudden.
Oh, I'm in the corner. And here we go. Let me get them points.
I am taking troops and the player of me does not care if I die. Fantastic.
Nope.
Off I go.
I'm now 180 points of 12 victory points is what.
Yes. Yeah,
that's a good ratio though. You could trade 180 points for 12 points.
That's fantastic. So we're going to see a fundamental way in the way things have changed, because we've seen a lot of people taking what I guess people like Paul and I and Tanya have coined as action monkeys, things to put up banners if you wanted to do banners, things to go and get engaged to get engaged, things to go and do ROD, what was ROD, but I'm now going to call it R&D, like research and development, like R&D, retrieve Nachman data. The action monkeys are probably going to drop off. We're not going to want them around as much because if we can't take a whole secondary now.
Well, like a unit of 3 servitors way less appealing, you know, unless you're just trying to fill some points in an army.
I took company veterans in just about every one of my lists. Sometimes they were just there to put up a couple of banners. Sometimes I put it in outflank to go get my rod. And now they can't do that anymore. I can't take that whole secondary. So I got to rethink my list.
I still think that this is a good secondary, but it is markedly different than retrieve Octarius data. And retrieve Octarius data was a frequent flyer. as far as objectives went.
Yeah, it was one of the most taken secondary objectives in the game. And I mean, you see a lot of the armies we're seeing prevalently now as being a bit more on the elite side. A lot of Covens, Drakari, a lot of big stompy monster Tyranids, which I'm so happy to see on the table. Like, those models had inch thick layers of dust on them, and now they're just potent, powerful, and amazing. And also stuff like Orcs and Custodes, which have small footprints. Stuff like Rod was so good there because there's no chance your opponent's going to want to stop you. Oh, you're going to leave 200 points of Custodes in your back line to stop my 35-point guys from coming to get me 4 points. You're just not going to do it. So it was always a good pick. But now you're going to have to question whether you do it or not.
Yeah.
I think Orcs can still do it, though.
To block you out, yeah, for sure. Okay.
Do Custodes get a rule that helps them with that too, with their small squad size?
They don't really get any rules to like help them perform that. They can do it and still shoot.
I believe double models in the squad or something like that.
For holding objectives only.
Yeah. But like a three man troop squad would only fail on a 5 or a 6, right? Because they get +1 for being troops. If you took 4-man troop squad, you'd only fail on a 6. And that might be just good enough for people.
Oh, no, not me.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, don't put that evil on me.
Well, it's not some people.
Well, okay. Well, I guess what I really mean, you know, outside of just being goofy, is that when the game is really on the line, you don't want to leave that, you know, in the balance.
Yeah. So, but technically you can afford to roll a 6 once. There's 4 quarters of the table and there's 5 turns. So technically you can afford to spud and roll a 6.
Yeah, just don't be perfect, you know. It's fine.
Yeah, exactly. It's a big if.
Oh, you know, what we're talking about, though, the game's tightening up. And so a missed opportunity where you have dedicated some time, some game time, turn time.
Yeah.
And
so this is one thing that I think possibly you and I talked about on a previous episode of something we've been on together, which is numerous things. we wanted to see more incremental points, like more 2s and 3s at a time, rather than like, okay, cool, I got a 15 for While We Stand. Big points dump, you know, things of that ilk. I do like smaller increments, like keep the game ticking over, keep the scoreboard, keep me, the player, interacting with the scoreboard, exciting, like, oh, cool, I got another 2 points here. Oh, cool, I just did this. Oh, cool, another 2 points here. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, this is going to influence what people take in their army, and that's what's cool with me. I'm like, as a list builder and brewer, I like to see things like, oh, that is going to cause a behavioral change in list design.
Yeah, exactly right. I think we saw there was another change. I think that one was to no prisoners, I believe.
No prisoners. Yeah, that's a one here. So if you select this objective, keep a kill point tally. Each time an enemy model is destroyed, unless that model is a vehicle, monster, or character, add a number of marks to the tally equal to the wounds characteristic of the destroyed models. A model can, if it is resurrected for any reason, return to the battlefield or whatever, potentially have marks added to the tally several times. So, you know, just whack-a-mole Gilliman.
Yeah, exactly right.
All good. At the end of the battle, divide your kill point tally by 10 and round down. The result is the number of victory points you score. In addition, if your kill point tally is between 50 and 99, you score 1 additional victory point. If your kill point tally is 100 or more, you score 2 additional victory points.
I like this change quite a bit. The issue
seems subtle.
It is quite subtle, but it makes a big difference in how in feeling like you can take this secondary. It's a lot of people go up to no prisoners, and if I'm playing a horde list or a list with a medium amount of troops, let's say I'm playing Black Templars, right? Black Templars could be an amazing pick against me, but then I play to try and stop it, and so I know that I'm going to have to give you up a couple of bits and pieces, but don't know if I'm going to have to give you up enough to give you, you know, I'm going to try not to give you max points on it.
This is in the no mercy, no respite section. Yeah. This is now a kind of a crowded section, and there's going to be some competition in what people take out of this category.
With some army lists, it's going to be really hard for people not just to give you 6 points, but just by playing the game.
Oh, yeah, just the normal course of the game. If you feel like you can't do anything else, you'll probably kill 50.
Exactly. You're playing great Gene Steel Cult, you know? Cool, I'm probably going to kill 50 models. I'm going to get 6 points. That's so much better than it was before.
Yeah.
Especially if you've got now the potency, you can try to go for that 11th or 12th point.
Maybe that'd be a good topic, is what are your what should be your fallback secondaries? Maybe we talk about that next week. And folks, if you're listening, suggest something. Like, what do you think? What is your go-to secondary when you're looking at your opponent's army? You're looking at the mission, and you just have you're just not sure what the outcomes are going to be or what you can achieve. What are your safety?
This is a really interesting topic for me because the secondaries are the single most trying thing for me while I'm learning to play Custodes. So I'm really interested if anybody has any advice for me as I'm along on this journey. Like, what are your Custodes secondaries that you're taking and why? And let me know.
Yeah, this is. It's one of the more dynamic things of the game. And the fact that they're changing, I think, again, but it's in a, everything's designed, I think, to make the game a little bit more interactive and then to really get the most out of the full number of turns of the game. But exactly. One of the reasons I said that this is a crowded section, so in No Mercy, No Respite, Chaos Knight's getting the Path of Destruction in here. Score of one victory point at the end of the battle round for each of the following conditions that were satisfied during that battle round for a maximum of 3 victory points. One or more enemy units were destroyed by a Chaos Knight model from your army while the Chaos Knight model was wholly within your deployment zone. Not necessarily hard to do. One or more enemy units were destroyed by Chaos Knight models from your army while Chaos Knight models were more than 3 inches away from either player's deployment zone. That is situationally dependent, but not impossible. And then one or more enemy units were destroyed by a Chaos Knight model from your army while that Chaos Knight model was wholly within your opponent's deployment zone.
I'm a big fan. I think that one of the biggest issues that Knight players had is that they didn't have a third good secondary to pick. A lot of them had, let's say, they would take To the Last. They'd take Grind Them Down.
This competes with To the Last, by the way.
Yeah, as well, we'll give him another legitimate option.
Because but I'm saying To the Last, I don't think you were... I think you were rarely in situations to where your highest point knight wasn't dead at the end of the game.
Well, usually you had three, like, big knights around the same points. And so three big knights around the same points, hopefully you have one or two left. That's why I said a good third secondary.
One or two is ambitious.
Exactly right. It wasn't a good secondary. You're betting that you're just going to win the game. Because if you've got a big knight left at the end of turn five, you probably won.
Yeah, you've fair. Almost, okay, good.
Almost, yeah, you've almost certainly won the game. So I legitimately think this is a great, great, great pick. Because, I mean, you pick Stranglehold, you pick Grind Them Down, because obviously you want to be killing more of them than you do, because if you're not, well, you know, you're not winning either. So, yeah, I think this is good.
Grind Them Down competes with this also. But again, that's what I'm telling you, this is a crowded category now for certain armies. But having more options, being able to rock up to the game and think that you do have something you can pick you can play for. And you're not conceding those categories or those 15 points over the course of the game.
This is another great change. So people have this concept of a rule set or a mission set being solved, as in you always know what the logical choice is. I don't necessarily adhere to that or like that. I rock up to a table and I have to make legitimate choices every game. As it sits right now, I build a list that will play two secondaries very well. And then I have a flex, you know, third pick, and I probably got only two or three options for that third pick.
Let me bring up something here is that third pick was sometimes the mission secondary, like one that was different. And now that's incorporated into the list itself. So you're going to have to think about things a little bit differently.
Exactly right, man. I mean, that second pick might not be a good one now as well. You have to like really make hard choices and informed choices and not ones you can just build into. Like if we could do away with To the Last or replace it with something, I'd be really happy. Right, I should be really happy. I don't think To the Last is great for the game.
I don't know, man. It makes you think about it. I think it paints a target on certain things.
Yeah, but it's the easiest thing to build into your list to be non-interactive.
Oh, sure.
I'll give you an example. There's a very, very extremely good series of Drakkari players who, prior to their current changes, where they got some point hikes, would build lists to have three characters be there to the last. And those three characters would all be deployed in a Venom that would start off the table.
Yeah, or like a big fat Court of the Archon or whatever.
And they'd go in the Venom with the Court in a Raider off the table. And then that Raider would come on the most least threatening portion of the table and sit behind a ruin, and you never get to interact with it. Like, sure. Because if you got close, it moved, it flew away. Move advance just flew away.
Yeah, because there's no limiter on what that, like, it has, this, it has to be at least a 200 point unit or whatever. There's none of that. It was just ratio scale on
expensive thing. So when you've got a really cheap army, it becomes quite abusable. And like, it's only this, so the people in question who I've even played with doing that, they're only not playing with like less than 400 points of their army. And getting 15
and
points.
And even then, they could just scalpel apply them into the game kind of thing.
One of those is usually, one of those picks in the Drakari army is usually Drazar. And then as soon as Drazar's like, well, I can't get stepped on by a Castellan anymore, I guess I'm going to go hunt Armagers because they can't kill him. So, you know, off he goes and has some fun. And so those things happened as well. And so that's why I think To the Last just gets a bit awkward. I'd love to see something similar to that. Or like you said, I think it's perfect what you just said then. Put a points caveat on it, like cannot have the character keyword. We'll just fix all the issues. Like I couldn't be crazy and use my Talon Masters then, because that's a very abusable thing that I do. Talon Masters, Talon Masters plus bodyguard, 3 points, which is a legitimate pick.
Well, the writers are proven that they'll tweak these things, you know, over time. I mean, because the idea, the only reason to do this stuff is to make the game more fun, and I do think that that's what these missions accomplish. Like I'm really jazzed about getting on the table with these missions. And we've seen it. We've seen people play with them with our own eyes, smiling faces.
Yeah, well, I've even play tested some of these because naturally I got the little bits of the mission pack while I was at Warhammer Finals. Games Workshop Finals. And so I played a couple of missions with these. I think they're great. I think they're really good. The primary change is the one that I love the most. Being able to go, well, I can't legitimately play for a 12 this turn, but I can play for a 4 or an 8 and then make sure I get those bonus points. And your opponent is just not getting that far away from you. Because it used to be like, your opponent got a 15, you got a 5, the game is probably over. And I love that may not be the case now.
Yeah. Yeah, it does paint a grim picture when that's the case, whenever you're like, well, I guess you got 15 for 2 rounds and I got a 0 and a 5. Well, what am I going to do now?
Yeah, that's a lot of points to make up.
But, you know, look, there's with the tweaks being what they are, being able to score, you know, squeak out a couple of points here and there on different things, having more compelling secondary choices. And maybe, you know, and I haven't gone through this with a mind, I think, for every army, but, you know, maybe there's some more attractive choices for armies that allow them to hang where they were struggling before.
Yeah, I really hope so, man.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. I mean, this is going to be up for pre-order by the time people are hearing this. And this is something you're going to want to pick up, especially, I mean, the missions, the secondaries, it's all in one place. And they're fun. I think this is going to be something that almost everyone enjoys right off the bat. You're going to be able to instantly inject this into your gaming environment.
It's always an exciting time of year.
Yeah, indeed. That's our show for this week. Kill Team is also up. You can get if you miss the Octarius box, there's going to be a new Kill Team set. You can also get Kill Team's fabulous game, especially skirmish level, a few models.
Absolutely. Awesome game. Can't wait to be I'm gonna be hanging out with you probably this time next week, Paul.
Yes, by the time people are hearing this, we will be in Vegas. We gotta do
some
fun,
of us,
man.
Will be
next year.
Awesome.
Next year. I keep saying that. It's been like 3 years of next year. Womp womp.
Yeah, this is a destination event. Gonna fortunate enough to get over there. Look for us. Yeah. And if you're there, say what's up. Cannot wait.
That's it. Love to shake your hand. Love to say hello. Love to tell me how your games are going. And yeah, hopefully you'll see many of you there.
Seriously, thanks everybody for listening. Thanks a lot for Spotify. You can leave reviews there now. And thanks to everyone who's left some reviews, 5-star reviews especially. That's if you can, anywhere you can leave 5-star reviews for us, or a comment or a thumbs up or something, please do. That is a way you can kind of influence the aggregator and the algorithms to maybe somebody else will find us. You never know, and enjoy listening to the show as well. Coming to you each and every week. So I know we didn't do like a hobby resolution or anything like that show, but last year, I think my resolution, I'm pretty sure I stated it, was to just like more posts on Instagram and Twitter, just like people's content that they do. And I'm going to stay true to that, try to do it again, like even more people's work in progress pictures and stuff. Cause I know that's what I would like to see. I post my work in progress pictures and models and stuff on Instagram and Twitter. And it's always cool when somebody leaves me a like, so I'm going to try to like more photos and post.
I reckon that's lovely. Good for you, Matt.
Yeah. Spread it around a bit. Even if somebody's already got 1,000 likes, I'm still going to throw mine on there.
No, that's awesome.
If I see something cool, I hit that thumbs up button. I just give them a like. It's free. It's free.
You never know. People, you know, again, this is the list people need to see a little attaboys, you know, it's a little bit of kudos.
That's right.
I haven't had much time to do hobby. In fact, I've mostly been helping other people with their hobby. So maybe that's
maybe
it. I
got some stuff you can paint.
Yeah. But I've been missing. I miss painting. I haven't painted anything in the last like 2 months since I left all my paints in Australia. But I'll paint some stuff for you. I don't mind.
All right, cool. Well, seriously, we'll see y'all next week. Safe travels if you're coming to the LVO. Don't forget to tune in. Leave us those reviews. We'll see ya.
See you then.
Bye, everybody.
Sept Tenets demand you tune in next week for the greater good, of course.